service, you know, with a little more common circumstance, the whole choir starts in the back. The first person that comes in leads us in with the cross. We all come into church together in the sign of the cross. Actually, our cross there has been used in this church for over 120 years. We found this really neat picture of the dedication of our old church in 1898, and the acolytes are there holding that cross. So just think about that for a minute, that kind of history of using that. But we all process in together. We are walking toward the altar of God together. And sometimes you'll notice when people come into church and like bow or reverence the altar, reverencing different things in higher churches with the smells and bells, the incense and the candles, where the Eucharist might be held and reserved in the tabernacle. Some people, when they walk in, they bow to the reserved Eucharist, to the presence of Christ in the bread and wine. We don't have that in St. Peter's. Some people just bow toward the altar, toward the sign of the cross, or just because this is the place where God is most present. But the point is that when we come in, we're doing this together. We're processing toward God together. We often start with Him. We start here. We start with the music before Him. But it's a reminder that what we're doing here is a celebration. It's not somber. It's not solemn. It's a party. So at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, we're here for a party, for a celebration, together in the presence of God, for a banquet, for a feast. Okay. So we begin with the opening sentence. Through most of the year, in the season after Pentecost, we say, "Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen." First thing I say is a prayer of adoration. We are adoring God simply for being God. And we begin with acknowledging who God is. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the God that we worship, God, the one and three. And again, we respond to that. It's not just the priest up here saying it by myself. We're doing this together. Blessed be God's kingdom. Kingdom of God, heaven, the kingdom of God here on earth, now and forever. Secondly, we continue with the collect. Well, the collect is just an odd way of saying collect. The whole purpose of the collect is to collect our individual thoughts together. You know, we all come to church with our own concerns, with our own thoughts, with things we're wrestling with in life. The collect is designed to unite us all together. The first collect that we pray is the collect for purity. So we are praying God as we begin. that is deeply powerful about our worship, to know that this isn't just something we've made up in our generation. There's something historic about it. We are united with the saints, with the history of the church for 2,000 years. The earliest Eucharist and prayers that we have go back to, there's something called there's the Apostolic Confession. It was written between 350 and 380. There's other, the Order of St. Hippolytus goes all the way back to the 2nd century, where we have the prayers that they pray in church. And in the records forum today, David and I are going to talk a little bit more about the history of this. So right now, I'm talking about just a little bit more in the meeting. But if you want to join us in the forum, we'll talk a little more about the history of where these prayers come from. But I love knowing I'm coming to church and singing the same thing that's been sung for 1,000 years. And here again, this is somewhat similar to a prayer of adoration. But this is more of a prayer of praise. We are praising God for all the things that God has done in our world and is doing in our world, in our lives. Now, glory to God in the highest. Peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. You know, the 10:30 service, the choir always does this really well. And sometimes the choir sings it on their own and they rock it out. And sometimes we sing it with them. And often when we're singing with them, it just sounds kind of ho-hum. And I don't think people throw the feeling into this that we should. Remember, wait a minute, we are praising God. Think about all those things that you have in your life. Think about, you know, the sun in the sky, the trees outside, the breath in our lungs. Think about all the things that we have to praise God for. Just let it rip. In this song of prayer, it's like 8 o'clock service when we say everything, you know, sing it. Say it boldly, you know, say it with feeling. This is an opportunity to praise God for the goodness and wonder and majesty of God. Alright, so next we're moving on to the call today. Again, this is loving our thoughts. Columns have been used since as early as the 5th century. In fact, we have you can find collections of columns from the 5th century. I was reading most of them have to do with asking God for protection chapters of the gospel, and it was an awful lot of reading. An awful lot of scripture. Part of that was that this was the only shot that a lot of people had here in the Bible. They couldn't go home and read on their own. So the church really had to emphasize it. Today, we have our prayer book suggests four readings. First from the Old Testament, then from a Psalm, then one of the New Testament letters, and then finally the Gospel. Whenever the Eucharist is celebrated, the Gospel always has to be read, no matter what day of the week, even if that's your only reading, you have to have the Gospel, because the Eucharist is always about the celebration of Jesus Christ. So you have the words of the teaching from the Gospel about Jesus. We do three readings, mainly because of I feel like the shortening of our attention spans, shortening of the modern attention span, I would say. When I grew up, there were always four. A terrible preacher would try to include all four in the sermon. A terrible preacher today tries to include all three. He can't do it. It's best just to focus on one. But it's really important, I think, to remember the witness of the Old Testament through the history of Judaism, the witness of the early church through the epistles. So epistle means letter. So you think about the letters of Paul to Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians, the letters of Peter, of Timothy. And from the earliest, psalms were read or sung in church. Way back in the day of the early church, before they had hymns, people would process them to the singing of a psalm or the chanting of a psalm. The psalms are the only book of the Bible that's printed in full in your prayer book. But the psalms were really all musical lyrics. They were all intended to be sung, not just scripture and hear the sermon, and that's it. In the Episcopal Church, I was the one to put those two together. By 1662, with the prayer book of scholarship, 1662, sermons were required every time the Eucharist was celebrated. But just to say that, that's somewhat of a modern words. So it's important.